have. Because that is the gospel.
Amen.
What is the gospel? Crying out to God. I'm going to the fountain of thy blood. And here's where I need to be washed. From crimes of deepest dying. A guilty, weak, and helpless worm. On thy kind arms I fall. Be thou my strength and righteousness. That's what we need. We need his saving strength and his righteousness. And we're well then for life and for eternity. We're going to consider especially one of the verses that we have read together here from 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered in not a word. What horrid indifference. He wouldn't answer. They wanted to play with idolatry. They wanted to play with anything other than the true and living God who had made them and maintained them and provided a mediator for them. Well, we'll think about that verse a little. A few years ago in England, the Reverend Charles Simeon said this, and let us listen carefully to this man living in the early 1800s. He said, if a pagan heathen should visit our country to learn what religion we are and to know if he should embrace our religion, then he would be very confused. Going into our churches, he would learn that we worship the one living and true God whom we approach through Jesus Christ, the only mediator who died for our sins on the cross and now lives to intercede for us. He would hear that we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit who enables us to turn from sin and to follow righteousness and true holiness. He would think, these indeed are a holy people, praying that God would enable them to glorify his name. But, Reverend Simeon goes on to say, if he followed us to our home, he would begin to wonder if we had any religion at all. He would find no worship in our families, no prayers in our closets. He would hear nothing of Christ in our daily conversation. He would see practically nothing about us that would distinguish us from the pagans anywhere in the world. What Reverend Simeon said about England a few years ago aptly describes this country, even at this time. And even those who profess godliness. It certainly was the case in Israel in the time of Elijah. As he preached among them, he thundered out those words. How long will you halt between two opinions? His call to them was very clear, that clarion call. How long halt ye? The word halt refers to a limp or to lameness. Israel could not consistently walk in the way of the Lord. Israel was literally worshiping Baal part of the time and walking in that way, back and forth like a lame man. As though Jehovah was not Almighty God. Israel was wavering, like the majority of the human race seems to do in every age of history. If you are a student of history, you know that usually just a few dedicated souls move nations and bring about great changes for good in the world. Just a few. Like the Augustinian monk, Martin Luther. What a blessing that one man was willing to stand against all the religious power and all of the political power of his day, and God protected him, and he died a natural death. But you know, It was the case even in the early days of our American nation. Only about one-fifth of the population of the people in the American colonies even supported the founding fathers in the fight for independence from England. Of course, there was also, on the other side, a sizable number of Tories that were totally opposed to the war with Britain. But right in the middle, between these two groups, was the bulk of the population, the majority of the people in the colonies. So what can be said about them? Were they not, as history has shown, all through the ages, that large group right in the middle are those that are sensual, those that are carnal, those are the people who simply want to be comfortable, they want to be safe, and they want to be undisturbed. It is exactly this way right now in our country. There are multitudes that want their sins, and they want a little bit of religion every now and then.
Amen.
These are the hearers of the word, but not the doers of the word. They are afraid to wholly abandon Christianity, but they also do not really hunger and thirst and seek after Christ and after righteousness. These people in the sleepy majority in the middle are sometimes repulsed by the bold and the notorious sins that are committed. Yet, at the same time, they covet the gratifying pleasures and the wealth of this world, and so these are their gods. These are their Baal. These are their Baalim. They love amusement, and they love the praise of men, yet they still want to sometimes be found in the company of the devout and the holy. To these the prophet calls with an awakening voice, "How long halt ye between two opinions? Do you realize that you are guilty and without excuse before Almighty God? The very fact of your long wavering and your continuance in sins of thought and of imagination, as well as evil actions and evil reactions, words of profanity, words of filth, deception, and falsehood, the evidence is there. Your acquaintance with the very name of Jesus Christ, and even your knowledge of God's word, whether that be knowledge be faint or whether it be full, leaves you without excuse before the judgment bar of the omnipotent King. Such an awesome and miraculous event as we have read, as Elijah calls them together, as he lays those stones on that altar, puts the sacrifice on, digs that trench and pours all that, has all that water poured on. And then the fire of God fell from heaven. It made a big impression on those sinners. But you know the sad fact? It didn't change them. Because Baal worship continued in Israel in those 10 northern tribes. Continuance of Baal worship. And I tell you, events do not change people. Not even miracle events. Miraculous events. Even fire from heaven does not change people. Remember the miracles in Egypt. But those 10 miraculous plagues did not change the Egyptians. It did not convert Pharaoh. Nor did those miracles even change the people of Israel. Because remember that the majority of those people who went out of Egypt, the adults, all except for two, died in the wilderness. Yes. They were not permitted to enter into the promised land. But you think about that. You think even about the miracles of our Lord Jesus Christ. His turning the water into wine. His multiplying bread and fish to feed 4,000, to feed 5,000, and so many others that were not even counted. raising the dead, healing the sick, walking on water, putting great schools of fish into his disciples' nets at different times, stopping a storm. All of these things did not convert even one man. The miracles, not all of these miracles together, converted Judas Iscariot. It did not change him. And who was changed by one of these outward miracles? I tell you, when the fire of God fell, the people fell on their faces and they confessed that Jehovah is the God. He is the eternally self-existent sovereign over all. Yes, but Israel was not changed. They were still idol worshipers. You may call on God when you're afraid. You may call on God when you're facing any kind of trouble. But the issue is, are you changed? Have you been changed by almighty grace and by the power of God? Or are you still halting today between two opinions? You may try to straighten up. You may try to deal honestly with your fellow man. But you can never do enough of that to cover your sin from the eyes of the all-seeing God. God will not accept your good works, your acts of kindness. He will not accept these in exchange for eternal life. Romans chapter 3, verse 20, for by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. And I believe in the law, and I believe that we must have good deeds. But let us remember, none of these good deeds or sweet actions can save your soul. Only Jesus Christ is the way to the Father. He alone has perfectly obeyed and kept the law and is able, by His shed blood on the cross, to wash away all our sin and all our guilt. By His perfect life, He is able to reconcile us to God. The apostle wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He, speaking of the Father, for He has made Him, that is Christ, to be sin for us, even though we never sin. He has made Christ to be sin for us, meaning that the Father will look on Christ as the one who bore our sin on that cross, so that we might be made or accounted to be the very righteousness of God in Him. That is the way of salvation. It is what Christ has done. It is the life that He lived. It is the atoning death that He died. It is not what I do. It is by works, but it's by the works of Jesus Christ that I'm saved.
Yeah.
This is the great exchange. His life for my life. His works in place of all my many sins. Oh, my friends, no longer halt between two opinions this day. No longer bow down at the idol or the idolatry of your own ability or your own good works. They can justify you before men, true enough, as James says. But your works can never justify you before the perfectly holy God. Only Christ's work satisfied and presently satisfies the Father. He takes delight in His Son. And if you ever expect to be with God in eternity, you too must learn what it is to delight in God's Son and to rely on Christ alone for your salvation. Isn't it an amazing reality that God, the everlasting Son of the everlasting Father, would come into this world of cruelty, filthiness, and vulnerability in order to bear for us the very fire of God and the wrath of God on the cross in order to deliver us from the wrath to come? So I ask you, dear friends, how long will you halt between two opinions? Oh, it is high time to take your trust away from anything that you can do to please God and to place all your reliance on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust alone in Him. Rest alone on His perfect life and on His atoning blood for your eternal salvation. Let us pray. Let us pray. Oh God, our gracious Father in heaven, we pray that thou wilt take the word that has been spoken, even as Elijah presented the message of truth to ancient Israel. Oh God, we pray that thou wilt apply thy word to our hearts today. And now may the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us all. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.